Ladies and gentlemen, the backbone of the middle class, as I like to call our tier two subscribers on the Patreon.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being a loyal supporter of us at the Fear Around Podcast. You make our lives possible. We thank you. And we are here to deliver another episode of Austin Show Advice. Today, I am joined by probably the only person that I would call if I ever had a problem.
Oh.
And it would be Will Neff.
Okay.
He gives some of the best advice, anything that I need, career advice, relationship advice, sex advice. I call Will Neff. It is so great for you to be here.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for being with me.
Yeah, I used to do an advice show back in the day as a woman.
Did you really? Hey, Donna.
Yeah.
When is that coming back?
I guess they're building the set now.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't take much. Throw up a chair and a dresser and a... Get those. You have three voicemails.
Come.
We have three voicemails. That's okay. That's right. We're here to give a lot of advice. Okay, you can cut this out if you want, but what about, I was thinking about what we could do can you give subscriptions to people? Oh, fuck. Okay. I was going to say it would be cool if we like opened it up to our tier ones. To give advice or to ask questions, and if they got selected, we upgraded them to tier two.
Well, we can send them money. Maybe he the realist.
Maybe we could just, but the only way to upgrade your subscription is by paying for a full year. There's no month to month thing. So is this a tier one thing now? Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. People are going to be pissed that they can't see it. But hey, I mean, if they want to, you know. Okay. Well, this week, folks, we have just a few voicemails, but that's okay. We're going to give all the advice we can for these three voicemails.
Sure.
Marsh, let's play the first one. Yeah. Oh.
Hello, Austin, and guest, if there is one. My name is James. And I am a gay man, and I'm sort of a younger gay. I've had sexual experience, but I seem to find myself crushing on straight men a lot, and it gets really annoying because I create friendships with these people, and then I realize that I don't want them in a friendship way. I want them in a romantic way, and that'll never happen. And how do I, like, stop approaching relationships like this? And get over straight men in general. I was just asking this question. Thank you very much. I enjoy the podcast a lot. Bye-bye.
James, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some advice, and then I'm sure Will has some advice because he is the straightest gay man, or the gayest straight man that I know.
Yeah.
Look, I think, James, I think you have to have an honest conversation with yourself. Shit. You
want me to grab this?
No, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. I think, James, I think this, you know what? Can I be honest? Yeah. I'm nervous. Because you're, you're so good at giving advice.
Yeah.
I'm nervous in your presence to give advice.
I'll get it out of the way, then I'll here.
Tee me off and then
yeah, okay.
I'll go ahead and do it.
James, there is a constant truth. And that is that there is nothing safer than someone who is unavailable. And I think for a new gay, a young gay, it's very scary to be gay because you have previously lived as a straight person, whether you know you were or not, you wore that mask. You were that to other people. There were people that assumed you were straight because you were living as a straight person until you embraced the fact that you were gay. So being around straight men and knowing that those straight men are unavailable for a gay relationship allows you to fantasize and romanticize men in a safe way where you don't actually have to engage them physically or emotionally. So if you want to stop lusting after straight men, I think self-love and appreciation is the path for you. I think you have to accept that you are gay, that you are going to be in gay relationships, and they are going to make you happy.
Yeah, I would second that. And also, I mean, there's a lot of attraction in the gay community to heteronormativity.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's a wrong thing. You can't help it, right? You're attracted to what you're attracted to. But there are a lot of gay men that fit the sort of category that you're looking for.
Austin Cho.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people would say that I fit that category. So I think that what I was going to say earlier is having an honest conversation with yourself and understand it. You got to stop. You got to understand why. For me personally, when I've had crushes that you have to be honest. Like, why do I have a relationship with this person? And sometimes you have to, you know, understand it. It's probably not because you want to be their friend. Maybe it's a romantic attraction and you have to face the reality that it's not going to happen for some of these people. And you need to stop yourself before you get too far. Right. Because I think a lot of us can go through sort of mental gymnastics to say, oh, no, this isn't what I'm in it for. This isn't what I'm in it for. And you're really just lying to yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you got to have an honest talk with yourself and understand when you're getting to a point where you're only in this because you want something romantic and it's never and you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Good advice.
Yeah. You can find there's a lot of heteronormative looking men out there that you can pursue that are openly gay.
Oh, yeah. Get on Grindr.
Yeah, exactly. Get on Grindr. Look, say look, mask for mask or whatever you are looking for mask. Plenty of options. Thank you, James.
No, I think we fixed him.
Yeah, no, but I do understand early on, I think in a queer sort of in your queer dating life, when you're starting to explore your sexuality, sometimes it's really difficult because it's hard to know sometimes.
Well, I think
whether somebody's gay or not, and you can't really ask either.
I think beyond that is, I mean, regardless of being gay or straight, I do think that people tend to go after folks that they secretly or subconsciously know are emotionally unavailable or just unavailable to them in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a twofold meaning. One, the one I talked about, where there's nothing safer than lusting after someone that you know isn't into you. But also, I think as soon as someone doesn't want you, it is a value proposition that if you can make that person want you, or you can, you know, in your mind palace, become a person that they would find attractive, then that you have increased your value.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these are self-love propositions.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are deriving value from someone's gaze or someone's wanting of you.
Or affirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but to your point about safety and feeling, you know, safe, I personally, like a lot of people, I like to have like good looking friends, and it becomes less anxiety inducing when I know that they're in a relationship. You know what I mean? Not like I'm pursuing them per se, but I like to
just,
be
around. Just the terror of if it could happen.
Yeah, but like it's not going to get there, but having friends like that, yeah. I think is a fun. I feel safer when they're in a relationship.
For sure.
All right, let's get the yep. It makes me seem like I'm a home wrecker. All right, Sam, let's see what you got.
Hey, Austin, my name is Sam. I'm 29. I'll be 30 next month in June. I'm transgender, came out as male 4 years ago during COVID when I decided to really focus on myself. I've been a notorious people pleaser my whole life. I really want to change my life around. I feel like coming out was the first thing I ever did for me. And I'm cis passing now. I'm very fortunate. So no one really knows, and I live a pretty easy life because of that. I'm very blessed. I'm married, and I just really want to turn my life around. I'm about to be 30. I don't really want to live my life for others. I'm finally in the body I want to be. I look like the person I've always identified as. So I really want to start living authentically next month when I turn 30. And you just live such a proud, authentic life. You're such a likable, charismatic person. How do you stop negativity from stifling your personality and your needs and wants? So any advice on just being yourself and authentic and not being a people pleaser anymore would be appreciated. Thanks, man.
You know what? This is a tough one for me because I actually feel like I struggle with this a lot.
Yeah.
And I could use some advice because I am also a perpetual people pleaser. And I think being a content creator, you're constantly dealing with the feedback that people give you. And constantly being pulled in a different direction. Oh, I love when you're crazy and chaotic. You're so annoying. I love when you talk about gay stuff. Being gay is your only personality. And for me, a people pleaser, I'm so desperate to just make people happy and I want them to like me.
Yeah.
And so I often feel like I'm being pulled in multiple different directions. And I think in that you kind of lose sight of who you are and what you actually want, because I think what's so deeply rooted in being a people pleaser is what you want is what other people want you to be. And I think that that's really, it's really, really tough to sort of put what people want of you to the side and truly pursue what really makes you happy. And I think it takes a lot of soul searching, and you've come, and I think the first step is coming to the conclusion that you want to live your authentic self and you want to stop pleasing other people or giving a fuck about what people have to say about you or anything. And I imagine there's things that people say about you that you have sort of acclimated to that you're sick of and you want to move on from it.
Yeah.
So it's something that I'm struggling with myself, truly.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, an aversion to conflict is just something that is built into their DNA. I'm one of those people, certainly. But I think what you have to realize is a lot of times when you're a people pleaser, you want people to be your friends. Mm-hmm. But when you are constantly pleasing, a friendship is not something that you actually obtain. These are people that are kind of fair weather fans. And certainly in every life, some rain must fall. And so if you're having an off day, those people that you've struggled to please because you're wearing a guise all the time really won't be there in a friendly or supportive capacity beyond, you know, an acquaintance level. So it's not really like you have a friendship. It's like you have a pet friend who just work to please. I think in a very sad but honest way, you have gone through the black belt doing away with pleasing people, which is transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there is an overwhelming amount of the population that looks at particularly a woman to man transition as something unnatural. And just by living your own reality, your own truth, you've made those people unhappy and you've basically enriched your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to respect your boundaries and realize that you might actually form deeper friendships
mm-hmm.
with people that actually connect with you by being more authentically you and being less of a people pleaser. But this is like any muscle. You have to flex your no muscle. You have to flex your barrier muscle. And I'm telling you, some night when you end up not going to an event that you really didn't give a fuck about and you're home watching a show that you love, cozy and in your blanket, you'll realize that there is nothing more empowering than being able to say no to shit
yes.
you don't care about.
And that's something that I will say of the things that I've struggled with, I have gotten better at. And there is something so freeing from you're at a party and you know what? I'm just not having a good time.
Yeah.
And realizing that you leaving, the people around you don't care as much as you think they do.
No.
Right? And if they do, and they're like, where the fuck is he? I don't want to be his friend because he left the party at, you know, or didn't want to go to this. Those are friends that don't respect your boundaries, and those aren't friends that you want. And I think, like Will said, nail on the head. You stand up for yourself. You tell your friends what you want. They're going to respect you more. Now, within reason, friendships are about, you know, sort of a little give and take, I think, sometimes.
For sure.
So you got to be a good friend sometimes. And I think that if you can't use it as a crutch to become sort of like a, you know, self-centered. Not saying you're going to go that way, but, you know, keeping that in mind, I think that you're going to build stronger relationships as a result of you being more honest with your friends about what you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is the last one. And again, we do have a number you can call. It's in the description. So please give us a call. We'll give you some advice. Here we go. Last one.
Hey, my name is Hunter. My pronouns are he, him. The reason I'm calling is because I recently started dating a girl. Things are going really well. We've gone on a few dates. We started, you know, getting physically intimate. However, she let me know that she's on medication that, you know, unfortunately makes it a little hard for her to reach completion. For me, this is kind of a problem or a little difficult because I kind of consider myself the opposite of someone like Austin. I don't see myself as a selfish top. I like to really focus on my partner's needs and getting them over the finish line. So with her in this situation, I feel like I kind of lost my guide point to really know, like, it's okay to focus on myself and finish things out because I want to make sure she's satisfied and, you know, it's a good experience for everyone. So I just find myself feeling a little insecure and kind of navigating new waters. So any advice is appreciated. Thanks for taking the call.
I think obviously you're doing a good thing, and that's communicating. And she's communicated that she's on a medication that makes it more challenging, or she can't orgasm. But I mean it's going to take further communication. Am I pleasing you? Is this good for you? Is this what you like? What do you like? What things can I do to make this a good experience for you? And it, to some degree, you're going to have to. This isn't every other girl that you've been with. And it may take a little bit of a learning curve to navigate, but you're going to have to trust the communication and the things that she's telling you. Now, I understand the challenge because I know you were saying I'm a selfish top, okay? But I also am somebody who, you know, runs off of pleasing my partner. That being said, I've never pleased a woman, but I can tell you who has, and that's Will Neff.
Yeah. I believe the expression is, pressure creates diamonds, but what pressure certainly doesn't create is orgasms. Women operate very differently than men in terms of their physical pleasure. Men are very analog. If you stroke it, it will come. But women, it's very much a mental game. So if you do have this imperative or this need to please your partner, especially if it's a woman, I wouldn't let her know that the situation is so dire or important, because that level of mental pressure beyond the medication will only add another barrier. I think in the same way that you're using communication to talk about your physical intimacy, you also have to just listen to your partner's needs. It is your reality that you want to please your partner. It is your partner's reality that they are hard to please, which is an equally heavy cross to bear. So if she gets pleasure from having sex with you and having a good time with you, don't add the extra mm-hmm. barrier of like, this is a wasted experience if you don't come, because that adds a level of guilt that will probably track with her even after your relationship. If you decide to move on to greener pastures, or a squirter who just comes at the drop of a hat, you will leave that person that you shared intimacy in with a weird kind of stigma in her head that she is less desirable because of her inability to come, which sucks and shouldn't be that way. So tread with care. Women are a delicate place to exist. And I think ultimately you have to weigh if the juice is worth the squeeze. If you are just a person who needs the gratification that comes with making someone come, and the kind of, you know, affirmation that, yes, I am physically desirable, and yes, I can make the opposite sex achieve orgasm, if that is imperative to your person, then this is probably not someone that you can go the distance with. But if they are so vibrant and amazing and wonderful that this blind spot of yours, this need of yours, is outweighed by their presence in your life, then make it work.
Yeah, and to Will's point, you know, I think that something that I've learned in relationships is my preconceived notion about what it means for somebody else to be enjoying pleasure is based on my own personal experience.
Yeah.
And some people, that's not how they view it. So, like, you know, for example, just because a girl doesn't come doesn't mean that she's not enjoying sex with you.
Yeah.
Or there are people that don't want to come and only want to make you come, and that's how they enjoy pleasure. So don't get stuck in sort of your perception of what it means. That's where the communication is going to come in. And don't invalidate her when she tells you that she's having a good time or she's enjoying it. Mm. I think that's really important, because that's something, in fact, very recently that I've experienced, like,
yeah,
you know, not every time is it going to, if they don't come, it doesn't mean, oh, that was a shitty time.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to have sex that time. We just, you know, I'm gay, so we just wanted to jerk off. That doesn't mean that they don't, that sex isn't enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right. Don't try to assign a meaning to the action. Communicate with your partner. Try to understand them a little bit more, but try to see it from and believe them when they say what they say.
Yeah, and if all else fails, buy a Hitachi body massager, because that thing could make a corpse come.
Yes. Thank you all. I think we unfortunately only had 3 voicemails, and we apologize for not having an episode last week. But we will have an episode next week and a week after that. And please call in, submit your voicemails. We really appreciate you. And thank you for supporting us. And we'll see you next time. And thank you, Will, for coming on.
My pleasure. I'll be on more often.
Yes.